The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. We have got a great guest for you tonight. It's Harvard-trained cardiologist Cynthia Feck, MD, and she's going to be talking about her brilliant new book, Your Vibrant Heart. It's all about restoring health, strength, and spirit from the body's core. Dr. Cynthia is also a practicing Buddhist, and if that doesn't make you sit up and pay attention, well, I don't know what will. A Western-trained cardiologist who is extremely spiritual and looks at the holistic approach to medicine and life, well, all I can say is, this is the doctor for me. She is also a huge believer in energy medicine. As a matter of fact, the raised imprinted heart and symbols on her book, she says, contains the loving, healing energy that she directed to it. Yep, I can feel the energy, and it's the real McCoy. So sit back, relax, and join us for the next hour as we connect our hearts together. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Are you ready to be activated to draw money to you? Hi, I'm Jules, and I created the triple-powered money activation app, featuring a powerful LOA hypnosis session with high-frequency sounds from Code Dimensions that was fully energized by energy transformer Eric Altman. That's why I call it the triple-powered money activation. I've been getting amazing reports on the effectiveness of this state-of-the-art app. Best part is the app is only $9.99, and you can find it on iTunes and Google Play to download into your smartphone. Just put in money activation in the App Store search and look for our green triple-powered money activation app. Use it every night as you fall asleep. Get yours today and start manifesting money tomorrow. Okay, we are back. Next week, we are getting a brand new fun website for the Law of Attraction Radio Network. So if you happen to be surfing on the net, stop by and see us at LOARadionetwork.com. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletters and special event announcements. We are growing leaps and bounds, and you know what? We owe it all to you. I'm especially excited about our Jack Canfield event coming up in Santa Barbara next September. Not only is our friend and best-selling author of Total Law of Attraction, Dr. David Chang, going to be speaking, we have just signed up Dr. Judith Orloff, MD, to speak as well. If you remember, her book on the ecstasy of surrender is so powerful, and she will be leading us in a two-hour workshop, and I can hardly wait. We've got our beautiful venue as well. It's historic, and it's in downtown Santa Barbara. It's Lobera Theater, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So come and listen to Jack in his three-hour workshop and Judith Orloff and our friend Dr. David Chang. We've got more terrific speakers coming, but one thing is for sure, you're going to love this high-powered informational event that will shift your thinking. You know, I've heard so many people say that when they go to retreats and workshops, they feel so inspired for a week or two after the event, but then they forget it all. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't forget it all. As a matter of fact, your eloquent computer system in your brain never forgets a thing. And when you need the information the most, it will pop up. That's how the brain works. It's a giant file cabinet ready to bring up the memories of your life. including your cellular memories. Here's the thing. You always remember exactly what you need to remember when you need to remember it. So when the emotions pop up, it will cause you and your cells to remember something good or bad or even ugly. It's just like remembering the smells or the odors of a certain place in your history that jars your memory. You see, your mind does not forget, but sometimes those filing cabinet drawers need to be oiled. Here's another thing. All of our cells remember our discomforts when faced with a terrible situation or issue. If you ever perceived that you were yelled at for no reason, and you felt mad and angry for not being understood, it's natural that your cells remember those same memories time and time again, and they respond the same way you did, as if you were a child. It's true. Something that happened when you were 4 years old may trigger an emotional response when you're close to 60. It's because our cells and our mind and our heart just don't forget. You're always remembering. And because of this, everyone tends to live life by default. They revert back to that time when they were 4 years old. Well, let me tell you that the first thing you need to understand is that we all experience those default moments. All of us. There is not one guru, self-help expert, or LOA expert, and I know plenty of them. There's not one who will not revert back to those default patterns. But here's the thing that sets them apart from the others. They can flip the switch of the default in a matter of minutes. They don't get into the long periods of depression or sadness or guilt because they know how to flip the switch from feeling bad into a better feeling place. So this means that every workshop or retreat that you attend, and even every radio show that you listen to, puts more and more information into that shiny filing cabinet in the brain. You may think that you forget everything within a week, but I can promise you, you don't. And it will come out when you need it the most. So keep on going. Keep on learning. Keep on remembering. The inspiration that you walk away with from a retreat or workshop or radio show is the sign that it made it into the shiny file cabinet in the brain. And that's what's important. You can't get too much knowledge fed into the brain. Now I want to introduce Dr. Cynthia Beck, MD. Cynthia began her professional training at the University of Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine. From there, she completed her internal medicine and cardiology training at Harvard. She manages two successful cardiology clinics and is the founder of Revitalize You, a wellness center focused on health, nutrition, weight loss, and detoxification. Beyond her academic and professional achievements, she is most proud of the praises that she receives from her many patients. Rediscovering her life purpose lends authenticity to her work and filled her with joy, energy, and spirit. She believes the mind-body connection for health is best served through the practice of being center and present in each moment. A practicing Buddhist, Dr. Cynthia is now on a mission to deliver that message about healing through her new book, Your Vibrant Heart. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio, Dr. Cynthia. I am thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jules. I'm thrilled to be here.
I thought your book, Your Vibrant Heart, was phenomenal. I mean, really a great book, and it goes along with everything that we talk about on our show, but you go into greater detail of exactly the importance of it all. So you are not only a practicing cardiologist, you're also a practicing Buddhist. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's, you know, when I talk to people about being mindful and present and just, you know, having a zen-like feel to themselves. You know, I can really speak from a place of authenticity because that's really how I've always lived my life. And I don't want to say always because as you saw from my book, I definitely had a period where I was not being very zen-like, and what was wonderful about that was it led me full circle to rediscovering the true essence of who I am.
Absolutely. And your mission, though, is to try to bridge the gap between Eastern and Western medicine. That's what makes it all so special.
Yeah, you know, what I want to say with respect to my journey regarding that is that I definitely had a phase in my life, in my career, where I was sort of the hardcore academician, you know, doing the drug therapies, you know, really fascinated by technology. And so for many years, actually, I practiced in that manner. But what I came to discover really through having some, you know, personal health issues on my own, that that I had over the years almost taken out the personal aspect of what health and healing was about. And when you go back and look at how I even came to wanting to be a doctor, it was really because of that humanness of it. You know, I tell a story in my book about, you know, being 5 years old and following my mom to her clinic, and this was in Burma or Myanmar now, and so there wasn't technology and there wasn't, you know, all these drug therapy. It was just about her offering her touch, her warmth, her compassion, and her words of wisdom and of hope. And that was my, you know, sort of naive child view of what medicine was about. But in reality, that is where we should come full circle around, so that the physician not only provides the medical background and knowledge, and yes, the drugs in some cases, but really reconnect the patient back to the fact that if you want true health and healing, that resides in the individual, and it resides in being open and free and connecting with self and spirit and realizing that the power and the potency is in our own hands. And so I'm able to, because of where I came from, because of my Eastern roots, and because I'm also so, you know, very well trained from a medical perspective, I'm able to really blend the two. And I think that that's really where the magic happens. It isn't in being in the extreme. It isn't all about just, you know, doing holistic medicine at, you know, and abandoning drugs, because in some cases drugs are absolutely necessary. But it certainly isn't just using drugs at the exclusion of considering the lifestyle and the nutrition, the fitness and the mindset. And so it has to be the marriage of the two.
Right. Wonderful. Beautifully said. Now, let's talk about the definition of the mind-body connection. What is that?
I think it was Wallace Waddle that says, you know, with our minds we can create, and once we have that thought in our mind, everything exists. And so as physicians, right, when we want to think about health or disease as only a physical manifestation, and not consider that how a person is thinking, sort of the energy and the vibration that their thoughts are creating is actually having cellular effects within the body and creating the very manifestation of the disease, right? And so, really, your disease is, your body being in a state of dis-ease, and recognizing and realizing that on a on a physiologic level, on a cellular level, that your thoughts do translate into the release and transmissions of, you know, hundreds and not thousands of neurotransmitters and cytokines and hormones and inflammatory markers that can, I like to say, you know, either be playing a beautiful, you know, symphony music or you know, heavy metal, right? And so it really can create that state of stress and dis-ease within our body with, you know, elevation in heart rate, blood pressure, you know, that the inflammatory markers, lowering your immune system and so forth. Or it can, you know, if you're leaning to love and gratitude and appreciation, all the positive vibrational energy, it can bring down all these, you know, bad parameters and really, you know, stabilize your heart rate and your blood pressure. And so I really urge my patients to be mindful of the fact that there is this intimate connection between our mind and our body, between our conscious and our subconscious, and that, you know, and it's really in that intersection that the ability to manifest and bring about things and to have harmony in your life exists.
Ah, yeah, beautiful, beautifully well said. Now, the heart is the electrical system of the body. It's a fine-tuned machine that keeps us running. In fact, actually keeps us breathing by the pumping. So in your book, I thought it was very powerful, at least it was to me, that you write, while we might debate for ages about whether life starts at the point of conception, there is no arguing that life is present in the first heartbeat, which occurs approximately 21 days after conception. Wow, I have never heard that before, and you're absolutely right. That is where we can safely say that life is then present, because it's doing all of the things that get us into life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the heart is such a great you know, symbol of life, you know, and it is you know, at this basic root, you know, it's an organ, it absolutely has an essential physiologic role. It is vital to our very existence in terms of the blood and the circulation. But the heart is also, you know, I like to think of it as our center of genius, right? And, you know, and so when we think about the mind is sort of this amorphous, you know, entity that, you know, some people like to imagine it being in the brain, in the head, right? But to me, the mind exists throughout our body, but particularly it resides in our heart, right? We speak with our heart. We think with our heart. We want to be heart center, and so we now know through all the research and that, you know, companies such as HeartMath is doing, is that the heart is intimately connected to our brain, and it has all this neural and electrical circuitry, and not only does it have the connectivity from an organ and organ perspective, but I think that the heart also has an ability to sort of connect more metaphysically into the spirit, right? And so, you know, our intuition, right, it comes from being heart-centered. It comes from that interconnectivity with our heart. That allows us to speak into the universe and to connect to that spirit that connects all of us.
So it's like our heart has its own brain, and that brain can actually supersede the existing brain in our head.
Absolutely. And in fact, if anything, you know, the brain in our head keeps us in a very conscious awareness, right? And so a lot of times when we think with our brain, with our head, we are overanalyzing. We are using just the physical feeds, you know, and so we're using data to tell us that whether we can, or in most instances tell us that we can't do something, right?
Right, right.
Whereas, like, when you think with your heart, I actually think that that connects us to emotions, which connects us to the subconscious, right? And it opens up so much more avenues of possibilities. When you allow it to, it allows us to sort of shed away all this, you know, limiting beliefs, and I really think it's such a beautiful thing when someone can really learn how to connect with their heart center and have that openness of spirit.
And like you said, with heart math and the global coherence, where they take the heart coherence to, on a massive level, to bring calmness into a certain area. The heart goes further than just our bodies. It truly goes out into the world.
Absolutely. I so much believe that there's, you know, we are sending through our love, really just a vibrational energy that it becomes a very palpable entity, right? You can be a room of conscious practitioners who are just radiating love or sending, you know, kindness and compassion, and that becomes a very palpable, visible, energetic force and feel. And that was so great about the research with Heart Math, is that they were actually showing this through their technology.
Yeah, it's very powerful. So we need to then not ignore the heart, but understand its really huge power, that we always thought the brain was something, but now it's time to shift into the emotional heart. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And I think that the more that we can bring more conscious awareness and more conscious actions, and conscious actions, not that is also infused with heart and with love and compassion. I think that is so key. You know, it's one thing to be, you know, successful because you have all the technology or you have all the business savvy, but is quite a different level to raise it to another level of success because you have the right spirit and the right intention and the right mission behind it. I think that if we can elevate everyone to really act more from their heart core. And for me, that's really the message, because, you know, the all this concern about heart health, right? The number one killer, 1 in 3, all of that is true, right? But if we just focus on the problem or cholesterol or, you know, how we eat and deal with just, you know, just the physical aspect, you're not going to get true heart health. Heart health is a much more complete package that really needs to tender to a person's emotions and their mental and also their spiritual, really get people back to really knowing and understanding why are they even here on this earth and what's their purpose and incorporating all of that.
Oh, wow. I just love it. This is so true. Boy, I can resonate with everything you are saying here. It's just hitting home for me. So let's talk about the emotional heart and the illness of it, the emotional heart attack. Okay, so we can accept that maybe we haven't been taking care of ourselves in the right way, but there's also something to it as far as the emotions behind the heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so there is such an entity as an emotional heart attack, sort of a heartbreak that leads to an actual heart attack. the mechanism is completely different. It has to do not so much with, you know, the underlying structural issues or a blockage, but more about just the like I said, the enormous surges of hormones and neurotransmitters that can just completely blast through our body and cause the physiologic changes that then will lead to a mechanical physical heart attack.
Happening a lot more? Are you finding that it's a lot more emotional heart attacks, or is there stats on that?
Yeah, you know, fortunately, the actual, you know, event of an emotional heart attack that does thankfully for the most part requires some dramatic or drastic occurrence, and so when I don't know that we're seeing a whole lot of that being on the uprise, but what we are seeing is a lot of stress-related,
yeah,
stress-induced complications, certainly hypertension, even, you know, diabetes and the body's ability to process insulin and the realm of insulin resistance has a lot to do with the enormous amount of cortisol that's in our body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fight and flight mechanism, right? That
right.
That reaction, that is innately hardwired into us, okay? But the heart fight and flight reaction that evolutionarily was put into our body as a protective mechanism was really designed to deal with an actual, you know, occurrence of a real threat or danger, right? Like the saber-toothed tiger that's coming, you know, at that, you know, caveman. And all he has to do is run up the tree, and then he's safe, and everything has a chance to down-regulate. And so, you know, evolutionarily, we had like that moment of terror and then hours and hours of ability to regroup and to down-regulate. But in our current world, we're constantly bombarded with situations that raise our cortisol and then raise it a little bit more and raise it a little bit more. And so we never have a chance to down-regulate.
Wow.
And so our body sits in this state of constant upregulation that then leads to all the physiologic effect with the blood pressure and the heart rate and development of insulin resistance and obesity and all of that stuff. And so that's really what I see in my practice, that it doesn't almost matter whether the patient is presenting with high blood pressure or chest pain or palpitation. Always underlying it, there is a big infiltration of stress and anxiety and worry. And so what I came to recognize over the years is that for me to just evaluate them and look at their heart and say to them, hey, physiologically, you have a strong heart. There's nothing wrong with your heart. But they go out and they still have their heartaches and they have that chest pain, their elevated blood pressure, because I haven't helped them to deal with the stress. And so a good part of what I do and what my passion is really opening them to an awareness about themselves and to a realization that stress is from within, okay, and that too many people are just accept it as a way of being because
yeah.
They think that it, you know, well, look at my job or, you know, my marriage or the children or taxes. And so they think that the circumstances and the situations and the events, which are obviously out of their control, is causing them to have that stress reaction. Well, those circumstances, situations, and events will never change and will never be in your control. But what is in your control is how you choose to think about them, you know, your perception, you know, how we think, how we react, you know, our emotions, our actions. Those are 100% ours. And that's the ticket to recognizing and realizing that you can absolutely live a life being stress-free, anxious, and worry-free by how you choose to think, irrespective of what the events are in your life.
Exactly. You know, and one of your side notes in your book, you basically put this and everything into a nutshell, and it's so very profound. It states that, quote, your body and your symptoms are physical manifestations of your entire being and reflect whether your mind, your emotions, your spirit, and your soul are in harmony. The body is talking to you. We just have to wake up and listen, not to mention learn the language so that we don't misinterpret the message. Oh, my goodness. This is powerful.
Yeah.
This is huge.
I mean, every symptom that a patient presents with is their body talking to them. I know that for a fact. But the problem is that most people don't allow themselves to be still enough to listen, and to listen with an open, gentle mind, right? And so instead, they're listening with a fearful, worried-based mind, and so they're completely misinterpreting the message. Typically, when you experience palpitation or when you experience that constriction in the chest, it typically is not you're having a heart attack. That's not the message. The message is you're not eating right. You're feeding, you know, me junk. You are not sleeping. You are, you know, way overstressed, and you need to take better care of me. That's the message. And that message has been coming at them for days, weeks, months, and years. And it's only after that that someone has a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
And so it's when the body feels like it needs to reach out and punch you because you haven't been listening to the little tap.
That is so true. Yeah, you're going to get punched. I love that. I love that. This is so powerful. But in regards to that, your body is telling you, yeah, wait a minute, you're not feeding me the right food, but could the very act of exercising and eating healthy food be a placebo that actually creates great health? Maybe it's not, but thinking that it is that a possibility? The belief that we are doing everything we can to be healthy, doesn't that create health?
It is in the, you're absolutely right. It is in the being. It is in the being that creates the health, right? And so the proper nutrition, the fitness, yes, those are necessary components, and those are surrogate markers of, right? But it is actually the being, you know, so when you visualize that image of health, right, and then you become that person that is that model of health.
Right.
Then you're doing the thing that person would do, which is to eat well and be fit and so forth. But, you know, the nutrition and the fitness are just components of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that for a fact because you can take an individual who spends hours in a gym, right, and it's like Mr. Buff. But because, you know, he's not thinking in the right mindset, and he's, you know, he's still overly stressed, and he's doing the fitness for the wrong reason, right? That person is not healthy.
Yes. Got it.
Yeah. Or we see, you know, these you know, models that are just, you know, a rail, and they're you know, they're eating carrots and celery, and that's, you know, and they're, you know, sort of nutritionally they might be doing all the right thing, but again, they're doing it for the wrong reason, and their mindset and the reason why they're doing that is because of poor self-image rather than for the right reason. They're not healthy either.
Yeah.
So it isn't just nutrition. It isn't just fitness. It's the whole package. And the person who, you know, maybe is carrying 5 or 10 extra pounds but has their mind in the right place and are, you know, enjoying life and allowing themselves to eat healthy 80% of the time but will allow themselves to indulge in, you know, Haagen-Dazs without feeling guilt, that person is healthy, right?
Yeah.
They're healthy in mind, spirit, and body.
Yes, yes, yes. I get it. Okay. So in your book, you are talking about diet and things for your body and chain smokers and everything like that. But you also talk about something that I find absolutely fascinating. There's something called the alkalinity of our body, the pH balance. So how does this level affect the blood pumping through our heart?
Yeah, so that is a very key point, and I will stress this on a physiologic level.
Okay.
You know, when we talk about the pH in our body, we are just a little bit short of, you know, a little bit to the alkaline side of 7.4 of neutral, okay? And we know that practically every disease, you know, 80-90% of the disease that exists that's known to mankind all exists in an acidic environment. So coronary artery disease, heart attacks, strokes, those all exist in an acidic environment. Cancer, for sure, exists in an acidic milieu. Osteoporosis, arthritis, asthma, inflammation, all of the GI symptoms, all the infectious disease, the dermatologic condition, all exist in an acidic environment.
Wow.
And so we know that if we can just alkalinize our body, get our body into an alkaline state, that a lot of these issues will be minimized or you know, completely negated. And so how do we do that?
Yeah.
There are specific foods that will help shift our body into an alkaline state. A lot of the alkaline foods center on dark, deep green, so the chlorophyll. So any of the greens will help do that. And that's why tea, and particularly green tea, is alkaline, whereas the sugars, all sugars, be it processed or natural sugars, tend to put people into an acidic state. Dairy is acidic. Animal protein is acidic. Much of the oils are acidic, and so just by changing your choices of food, you can shift this balance. Obviously, hydration is really important. So it's really important that you hydrate yourself. If you can have the luxury to take in alkaline water, even better. And so you can do that. If you don't have the ability to afford, you know, an alkalinizer, you can just drink a huge, huge glass of lemon water in the morning. So a great practice would just be to take, you know, 16 ounces of water is the first thing you do before you put anything else into your body with, you know, squeezing in a full lemon. That will alkalinize the body.
Really? So you would think that the lemon would be acidic.
Yes, it is acidic, but what you're trying to do is alkalinize the body. And so the way that it actually causes the pH to change, or the protons to come in within the stomach, and it gets complicated. But what it does is it shoots a base into the body.
Ah,
yeah.
Wow. So we wake up in the morning and we take water and a whole lemon. And we drink 16 ounces of that. That sounds good. And I noticed you were talking about a girl in your book who was not giving herself enough water, would have a couple of cups of coffee in the morning and maybe something in the evening, but she was really not feeding her body the water or the fluid that it really needed.
Yeah. When you think that our body is about 70 to 80% water, and our brain is even more than that. So it's like 90% of the brain's content is fluid, right? We as a society are chronically dehydrated. And in fact, in the world, the statistics is that in the world it's like 50% dehydration. In the United States, it's even more than that. And the reason is that, you know, when you take a survey, I ask my patients, what do you drink?
Yeah.
They drink coffee. They drink soda.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's a rare person who drinks water. Right.
Yeah, you're
they
right.
We need to sweeten our drinks and everything else. And so particularly if you're taking the caffeinated drinks, that's a diuretic. And so 3 cups of coffee makes you six cups down in fluid.
Wow.
So you actually have to subtract the amount of cups of coffee you drink in terms of your water content within your body. And so we're chronically dehydrated, and when you think that, you know, the cell, how it needs to function is really with the fluid within it, it really can have a tremendous impact.
what do you think about the pH balanced water? Is that good, or how do you know?
Yeah, you know, the problem is a little bit hard to know from a consumer standpoint. Absolutely, conceptually, alkaline water is good for you. And I actually have an alkalinizer in my home, and so I have alkalinized water that gets alkalinized right at the time that, you know, the water comes out. We know that over time the water loses that alkaline property, and also sunlight reduces it. And so, you know, I see these pH 9 waters and, you know, sitting on the shelf, and it's, you know, is in a clear plastic bottle and having the artificial light and, you know, hitting it, and you don't know how long that's been on the shelf. So I don't know that it's necessarily worth spending the money to get the alkaline water, you know, by that means. If someone can, you know, invest in an alkaline machine, that's great. I know that, you know, you can go to sites where you can, you know, purchase the water. I would, if I was going to do that, purchase, you know, directly where, you know, the alkaline machine is making the water, and then take it in a container that is, you know, light scent, shield, you know, a dark container. Yeah. Yeah.
A dark blue, a cobalt color blue. Yeah, because I bought water when my dad had cancer. I bought bottles of the dark blue alkaline directly from the source here in Southern California.
Yes, that's
and
absolutely
made him start
worth
drinking
doing.
That.
You know, because we know that that cancer is existing in the acidic environment, and so when you do that with the water, when you start eating all the right vegetables, okay, and so that's important as well. I don't want anyone thinking that they can just drink the alkaline water and be done while they're still having their sugars and their protein, animal protein. You really, you know, there's a lot of phytonutrients in the plants that can be very life-giving.
Wow, yeah. Okay, that's great information for us to know. What about this, and you wrote this in your book, renewable energy sources that will revive the emotional heart, the love, laughter, creativity, and music. Are you saying that these emotions can actually heal the heart?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, we only have to observe our children, right?
Right.
And just look at the life in them and look at the energy in them. Well, what's fueling them? You know, it's laughter, is play, is joy, is you know, is dance, is music, right? And so we're no different. That absolutely will heal.
Huh. So we just got to get into noticing that we're loving life, we're laughing at the absurdities, we're creative, and we can just start dancing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I saw a gentleman yesterday. He presented with, you know, he came to me. He has a history of stage 4 gastric cancer that's inoperable, right? And he's been having chemotherapy. And I said to him, when did you have this diagnosis? And he said, 2011. And I just smiled and I said, I bet I can tell you exactly what you've been doing to be here. And he said, yeah, you're right. And he said, I was given a 3-month, you know, prognosis. 3 to 6 months prognosis, and he refused to accept that, right? So the fact was that he had gastric cancer. There's no arguing that fact. But the fact that he had a 3 to 6 months lifespan is not a fact that he was willing to accept. And so he just did not. And he continued to experience life, enjoy life, have joy in his life. And rather than the opposite, right? You can get depressed about having cancer. You can start, you know, planning your funeral. You can, you know,
or be fearful.
And what do you think will happen to your body's ability to ward off that cancer? What do you think will happen to your immune system? What do you think will happen to your strength? all of that is either positively or negatively affected by how we choose to hold ourselves. You know, it's the vibrational energy, so we can either attract health or we can attract disease.
Yeah, you're right. It's our choice,
on
how we want to think. So in order to help with the emotions, you are suggesting alternative therapies such as EFT and meditation and even hypnosis as ways that we could possibly improve our emotional health. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, all of these options and modalities are in there, and I invite the readers to look at them and consider them with an openness of heart, okay? Because their own inner guide, what works with them, what resonates with them, will speak to them, okay? But one comment that I do want to make, that why I offer all these modalities, because, you know, people are at different areas in their level of belief, on their level of consciousness, right? And so for some people, they think that they're not capable in and of themselves, and so they need a hypnotherapist.
Right.
To put them under, to get them into that vibrational state, okay? And if that's their belief, if that's their starting point, great. That's where I would want them to be, right? Some people are of the belief that, the crystal therapist will do their magic and put them in a right vibrational state. And if that's where their belief system is, that's where I want to match them, okay?
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, I do want to shift them to a higher level of consciousness and awareness so that they understand that they have the power in themselves.
Exactly.
Right? So they don't need that hypnotherapist or necessarily that acupuncturist, that they can have that belief in the healing energy of themselves, of their thoughts, that they can move in that direction, right? And
exactly.
So I see, you know, things like EFTs as steps to the migration, so that hypnotherapy, there's no you're not playing a conscious role whatsoever. Whereas, say, EFT, where you're articulating the affirmation, you're getting to a higher level of awareness. And with emotional freedom therapy, that because of the tapping and the meridian, that, you know, sort of accentuates that belief and the affirmation even more. But ultimately, I do want to get people to a level of conscious awareness so they see the benefit, but they understand how they got that benefit.
Absolutely. And getting them to their own place in meditation, because simply hypnotherapy is just a deep form of or deep state of relaxation, as meditation is. So there's the power always remains within that individual. There's never a person that can go in there and heal them. It is within the power of themselves, and that's what you're trying to get out to them. Because the bottom line, what you're saying in the book, happiness makes you healthy.
Yes. Yes.
That's the bottom line.
And you can choose. You can choose right here, right now, to be happy, okay? People, you don't need to wait for a situation to make you happy. You don't need to wait for a situation to have you laugh. You can laugh in order to be happy.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Ah, this is great. Wow, I love, 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 love this. This is so much fun. This is such a great book, and I want to make sure everybody knows how to get Your Vibrant Heart by Dr. Cynthia Thaik.
Thaik.
Thaik. THAIKMD. You've got to get this book. But you know what? To all my listeners out there, if you know someone who is not healthy right now, give them this book. If this is a gift into their future well-being, and it will shift them. And I strongly urge everyone to to get a book, have it in your house, and then continually refer to it, because truly this is fabulous and the way that we give our power back to ourselves.
Thank you, Jules. And you know, the other thing that I want to say, because I know you have a physical book there, you know, the book is available on Kindle as well. And while people can get Kindle to get the words, I feel like, you know, for me, energy is transparent and energy is ever present. Okay, and so when you hold that physical book and feel the heart, which, you know, is raised on that cover, there is actually energy. And I don't know if you can feel it, Jules, but my love, my spirit really comes out through that book, and it has the energy that I hope that everyone has that ability to feel and receive that energy and love from me, because it was really, the book was written with that in mind. It was written just out of service to deliver hope and peace to people.
Yeah, and it does absolutely hope. Yes. Absolutely. I can't thank you enough. This is wonderful. Thank you. And you know, you have forewords by Mary Morrissey and Bernie Siegel, who's one of my favorite all-time guests. I love Bernie. And Jack Canfield and Brian Tracy and, oh, everybody, even Bob Proctor. You have nailed this with everything we need to know about how to get healthy and how to stay healthy, and it all resides in us. Wow, this is powerful. Thank you so much, Dr. Cynthia.
Well, thank you, Jules. Thank you for all the work that you do. I mean, you are absolutely out there being a shining light and spreading the message. I mean, that's what we need. We need for more people to join us in this, you know, heart-centered, heart-conscious life.
Well, thank you very much, and I think you and I will be doing some things together in the future, so I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
I would love that. I really would.
Before we leave, too, I want to make sure that everyone goes to yourvibrantheart.com, and you can find more information. Do you have any upcoming workshops or anything?
And I actually like to also tell people of my other website, which is drcynthia.com. I do a lot of blogging on that site. Yeah, and then they can also go to Huffington Post. I've done a lot of more lifestyle and spiritual philosophical articles on there. I actually had a 10 blog series on food for the soul. Yeah, and that I'd like for people to check out.
Wow. Very cool. Thank you so much, Dr. Cynthia. This is wonderful. You are fabulous, and you are a true blessing to this world. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jules.
Now, that was great. Doesn't it get you excited to know that there's much more to life than we think? Much more to life than our past. Much more love to bring into our life. You know, life isn't bad. Life is great. What are you going to choose to look at? You have a choice to be happy or to be miserable. Why waste the energy on being miserable when you can expend the same amount of energy to be happy? Flip that switch this week. Flip it in record time. It's your choice. It's always been your choice. That's it for this week. Have a great one, and we will be back with another great show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com, and have a great week.